Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp. And before the Dollars and Cents show gets started here, I just wanted to remind you and let you know that I'm not doing this alone. The Dollars and Cents show is part of a radio network, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. It's a bunch of podcasters who are all homeschoolers podcasting about their lives and homeschooling. So I wanted to let you know to go over to Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and look at such great shows like Homeschooling Co-op Style or Homeschooling in Real Life with Fletch and Kendra. They're a lot of fun to listen to. The Homeschool Sanity Show, don't you think that sounds like a fun one? We've got my friend Mary Jo Tate doing a program called Flourish at Home. And Helen Melanie Young are talking about making biblical family life practical. Israel Wayne's going to start a podcast here soon. We've got other shows like the Finish Well team, which talks to teenagers, and Dr. Woody Wilson, who talks about the Constitution. Oh, there's just almost too many to mention and more coming up. So if any of those sound interesting to you, go ahead and check out the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is Carol Topp, and I'm here with my guest for the day, this episode, Susan Raber from up the road from me in Dayton, Ohio. And we've been talking about money myths that homeschool moms believe, and we're trying to break those myths apart to save you some money and some stress. In the previous episode, we talked about myth number one, just a little more money will solve all my problems. And it's not money that you need. It's actually probably contentment. The second myth we busted was I need fill in the blank, and really we helped you try to understand that wants are different from needs. You need to fulfill your needs when you're home educating your kids, but wants, well, there's something else. And then the third myth we talked about was something I fall prey to quite a bit, even though I'm a CPA, was believing that something was on sale, so I saved money. No, you didn't maybe save money, you just spend a little bit less, but we've got some other money myths that homeschool moms fall for. Myth number four, we're ready to tackle that one, is this belief that homeschooling is expensive. Wow, that's a myth? Yeah, it is. It homeschooling can actually be done very inexpensively, and especially if you compare it to private school, my goodness. The average family, according to some studies that have been done, spends between about $300 and $1,000 per family per year. I've heard different amounts, but, you know, that's not a lot. $1,000, even if you spend up to $2,000 per family or even per child, that's still a lot less than a private school or even public school. I'm shocked. I don't know what it's like where you are, Susan, but I am shocked at what my public school neighbors pay just in their book fees to the public school. That was sometimes more than I spent on homeschooling. So I say homeschooling can be done very inexpensively, but of course what homeschooling costs is time. What do you think, Susan? You mentioned you've had some lean years. You probably homeschooled on a shoestring.
Yeah, there have been times where, you know, for just various reasons, there isn't a lot in the schooling budget. That's definitely when you take a look at what you already have and what's mm-hmm. available to you in the library. And, of course, now that we have the Internet. Yeah. And then there's other low-cost resources. I know families who use things like Netflix to be able to watch History Channel videos mm-hmm. that can supplement their curriculum. But it's always amazing to me when people think that homeschooling is expensive, and of course they often look at it as expensive because they think of it in terms of lost income. They're yeah, a two-income okay. yeah. family, and now they have to become a one-income family. My husband and I, our first year of homeschooling, we both worked at the same mortgage bank, And we had been talking about homeschooling and could we make it work. And it wasn't as big of a shocker as I thought it was going to be because I no longer needed my sheer energy pantyhose and my nice suit jackets. And I could wear a blue jean skirt and socks and a t-shirt to homeschool in. And I wasn't going out to eat every day. I wasn't driving the Beltway every day. There were a lot of little ways that we were able to save money, eat more home-cooked meals. And those little things add up tremendously over a year's time. Mm-hmm. But the true cost of homeschooling is in time and energy. That is an absolute truth.
Yeah. You know, I have a brother who's an economics professor, and he'll talk about opportunity costs. And that's exactly what you're talking about. Opportunity cost is the cost of basically what I'm giving up to take this opportunity. So when we homeschool our kids, yes, you gave up the opportunity to earn more income. I did too. I could have worked for a CPA firm and earned, I figured it out once, you know, a lot of money. Doesn't matter, but a lot of money, you know. And I have to look back on my homeschooling years and say, I cannot put a dollar amount on the time I spent with my daughters. That time with my daughters was so precious, I could not put a dollar tag on that. So, yes, time homeschooling is expensive in terms of time and in terms of what you perhaps give up, but in terms of actual cash outlay, not so much. I have a client who's in Hollywood, okay, California, and she's homeschooling her kids. Isn't that amazing? She's a wealthy woman. She has a housekeeper, you know, she lives in Hollywood, but she's choosing to homeschool her kids because private school down the street wants $30,000 per kid. She's got three kids, you know. It's worth it to her, and not just from a financial perspective, but also from the time you spend with your kids. So,
I was going to say, putting your kids in a traditional school, to me, that's an opportunity cost for them. They're losing the opportunity for an individualized education and to learn self-motivation and self-reliance and to have some freedom to pursue their interests and to also take responsibility for their education, because the traditional classroom is very top-down. It's very much the teacher's doing all the work and the student is passively receiving it. And that is a cost that the kids pay, because in the real world, there are very few people telling you what to do and giving you deadlines. You have to create your own deadlines and your own goals and learn that self-motivation and focus that is artificially created in classroom, but in the real world, you have to create it for yourself. And kids are, I think, sometimes robbed of that opportunity in many traditional classroom situations.
That's a great point. I never even thought about that, Susan. I mean, obviously, I agree completely with what you're saying about the kids and their opportunity cost. I was thinking of my opportunity cost, what I'm giving up. But we ought to think of what our children are missing by being if they were in public school, and what they're gaining, I think is the way I want to say it, what they're gaining by being homeschooled. And you're absolutely right. They become independent learners. They become more responsible. And I like what you said about they get the time to figure out what they're good at and you know, what they want to be when they grow up. A lot of times the peer pressure or the mill, if you will, of group education, public school or private school education means they just go along with the flow, and they have no idea what they want to do when they grow up because they haven't gotten a chance to explore it. They're so affected by the peer pressures around them. So opportunity cost is huge. Let's count that. Let's consider that and not think that homeschooling is expensive because of the cash outlay. Exactly the opposite. It's only expensive in terms of the opportunity cost that's out there. And I think, obviously, I homeschooled for 14 years. You're working on 20 years, Susan. We obviously think it's been completely worth it. But as a tip, you mentioned in your blog post over at homeandschool.com, Susan mentions, you know, doing some planning, taking some time, I recommend making up a budget, a homeschool budget. I bet you've done that, Susan, but you know, where you need to list, hey, this is what I'm going to spend on books. How about including field trips or classes, co-op classes? A lot of people tell me I can't co-op, it's too expensive. But you know, Susan, I was a co-op treasurer. When I actually did the math and figured out what the co-op cost each family per hour of class, it was like $3. Those families were getting a co-op class for $3, you know, per class, per hour, per kid. How? Mm-hmm. That's not expensive at all. That's fabulous. So co-oping is it seems like it's expensive, don't you think, Susan, to some families because they make that cash outlay. But in reality, it's really not when you look at what you're getting in return.
Right. And I think sometimes when we think about education, we reduce it too far. We reduce it to just academics and skills. But homeschooling especially, I think, offers us the opportunity to give our children some life experiences. And homeschooling isn't just about buying books and having lesson plans. It's about mm-hmm. them building their character, becoming this wholehearted individual. And I don't think we need to feel guilty if we need to spend more money in some area, whether it's for convenience to buy a self-directed program or an online program to free mm-hmm. up our time. But that is also an opportunity for them to be self-directed and to learn in different ways. My kids, we learn some things from real books. Learning how to distill information from real books. Then they have some online programs because online schooling, even at the college level, that's something that's more and more available and it's looking more and more mainstream. And then being able to use a traditional textbook, which they will have in college. We have some traditional textbooks so they can familiarize themselves with the format, so they can learn how to read the chapter, answer the questions, read the chapter, answer the question. That's the traditional, I mean, that's my traditional school experience was read the chapter and go home and answer these 15 review questions, and which I could usually accomplish before class was over and I didn't have any homework when I got home. But it really is okay to balance prepackaged materials, self-directed curriculum, and even areas where you want to be involved as a homeschool teacher. Because how many homeschoolers say, oh, I can't teach algebra? Well, you don't have to teach algebra.
That's right.
You can you can use an online
video
program.
That's right.
To teach algebra. Yeah. But what if you love art? This is an opportunity for you to bond with your child over something that you're passionate about. Personally, I love literature. And I want to be involved in sharing books and stories with my kids. So I'm getting as much out of my homeschool experience with my children as they are because they see my passion. They see me as an individual. They're getting to know me as a person and not just mom. They get to see me wax eloquent over, some thing in literature, and I get all excited about it, and they're just looking at me like, that's great, Mom. That's cool.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I was that way about history. I just think it's a crying shame that you can graduate from public school with only 1 year of American history and half a year, one semester of world history. That's just a crying shame. And so my kids had a lot more history because I was interested in history, and I loved that part of homeschooling, learning it all over again in such an interesting way. So we're getting to the real point, which is sometimes you homeschool because you love it and it's good for the kids. But Susan, I bet you have 5 children. I think I had 2 daughters. It's okay too. I want to give moms permission, moms and dads permission to know this. It's okay to spend different amounts of money on different kids, depending upon what their interests and talents are. So my younger daughter has an interest in photography, and she was feeling guilty for wanting a $500 camera. And I pointed to the $3,000 piano that we bought for her older sister, and I said, "You haven't met that benchmark yet. Don't worry about it." One child needs a $3,000 piano, another one needs a $500 camera, and another one just needs the outdoors. So it's okay to spend different amounts on different kids. It doesn't have to be equal. Your kids aren't equal, are they, Susan?
No, and we've had exactly that experience. My son Noah is very interested in music, so we invested in a digital piano. And my daughter Emma, she started her own YouTube channel. She's very interested in cosmetology and skincare and things like that. She wants to be a beauty guru on YouTube.
Cool.
And at first, I was just like, okay, I'm not a girly girl. She's a girly girl. That's okay. And she started pursuing this with just the cheap little camera that we had. And months and months and months later, she's still doing it. She's still working hard at it. So I talked to my husband and I said, we need to invest in this.
Yeah.
This is obviously something that she feels passionate about. She wants to do this. So we invested in a DSLR camera for her and the Adobe program that allows her to do some fancy schmancy video editing. And she spends so many hours just poring over that and learning it. And that is, you know, every kid is absolutely different. My youngest is very interested in animals. So right now he has a bunny. And he's learning all about taking care of rabbits. And so next year we'll be looking into things like 4-H and other programs that are revolve around the care of animals. So you just don't know where your kids are going to go. I've got four kids off in completely different directions, and we've spent different amounts of money on each child.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is don't just throw money at something because, you know, for 2 days they got all excited about astronomy, so you went out and bought a telescope.
Oh.
Take some time and let them do with what you have and make sure this is a passion and not just, you know, this. They saw something on television, they got really excited about it, and you're like, ooh, ooh, educational opportunity, I must go buy them a telescope. And then it just sits there and gets her. We actually did this. We actually did this when Seth was much younger. We went out and bought a telescope, and it never got used.
I just thought of another myth, which is that the kids love it. Let's go buy. Fill in the blank. Yeah. You know what, Susan, we're going to take a little break right now, and then we're going to come back with our last money myth. But, I think we could have expanded this to number six, but we're going to stick with our original five, so we'll be right back.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.
Welcome back to the Dollars and Cents. So this is Carol Topp, and I'm talking with Susan Raber, fellow homeschooler. We've been talking about the money myths that homeschool moms believe. And in this episode, we've been talking about whether we believe the myth that homeschooling is expensive. It's really not when you compare it to other kinds of education and can be done very cheaply. But we've been talking about it as time-consuming. Let's talk about our last money myth, Susan, which is I'll use it someday. It's kind of related to some of the other things we've talked about, but you know, the truth is we don't know what the future holds. So try not to buy too much if believing you'll use it someday. You're gonna burden yourself with a lot of stuff. When I was homeschooling, and I'm retired now from homeschooling, I homeschooled for 14 years. My husband limited me. Because he knows me, okay? He limited me to one bookshelf. Now, it was one of these 6-foot-tall bookshelves. But he knew that if it were up to me, I would fill 5 of them because I love books and buying stuff. So by him saying, Carol, keep all your homeschool stuff on one bookshelf, I was kind of forced to not fall for the myth of I'll use it someday. Matter of fact, when my kids were in high school, you'll find this funny, Susan, I was using video text algebra. And it came on, this is how long ago it was, originally I bought it on those VHS tapes, not DVDs, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it took up a lot of my shelf space, and my shelf space was very precious because, like I said, my husband didn't want to buy another bookshelf for me because he knows I'm a bookaholic. And so I actually went to them at a convention, and I said, okay, I see you have DVDs now. Could you please make your cases? Because they sold them these big old fat cases. Could you please make the cases smaller so I can fit them more on my shelf? They looked at me like I was weird, and they didn't. They didn't make the cases smaller when they went to DVDs. They're still as big as they ever were. So anyway, I just threw that humorously, but I had to control that myth because it was going off in my head all the time of I'll use it someday. You don't know. You don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, and I think if you purchase things with the idea that you're going to use it someday, you're anticipating the future in a way where you may be limiting your children instead of expanding their universe. You've spent money. You have this thing on your shelf, and it's bugging you because you know you need to use it.
Yep.
And so you start pushing your kids in that direction. And if they're not interested, and if it's something that's not applicable, if it's a, you know, if they're of a certain learning style, so to speak, that they just aren't clicking with this material, but you're just like, but I bought it.
And I bought it.
Yeah, you just can't. I mean, you think you know your kids. You are with them so much. But I have watched my children become these individuals who can surprise me and inspire me, and I'm watching them become their own unique people, and it's very exciting. But it does bust that myth that we can anticipate what our children are going to need or want next year, 2 years from now, or in high school. Because, again, you're going to buy something. It's going to sit on the shelf. It's not just physical clutter. It's mental clutter. It's going to bug you to death that you bought that and stuck it on your shelf and it's gathering dust. Every time you look at it, you're going to get a knot in your stomach about it. So it's okay to just give yourself permission to take time to think and plan and regroup. And then it all comes back to being honest with yourself and learning to create specific goals. They are going to be very unique to your family's needs, their best learning methods, your budget. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to plan only 6 weeks at a time or one semester at a time. I plan one semester at a time. I have learned to not plan my entire homeschool year. I have thrown away so many homeschool planners after 6 weeks that I just don't even bother anymore.
Yeah.
Or I download them and print them, and I don't print more than 6 weeks worth of plans at a time because I don't know when inspiration is going to strike. I don't know when a new resource is going to come along that will better address something that we want to do, or an opportunity can come along for one of my kids that will fulfill that need without me having to go and purchase something. So it really is good to homeschool in smaller chunks and not feel like you need to have this planner and just plan out this whole year. I think sometimes maybe you can do that with smaller children who are learning those basic skills of reading and writing and math. You can pretty much plan out what you're going to do. But boy, when they hit those middle and high school years, you've got to give them room to become individuals. And you've got to give yourself a break and just let your kids take responsibility for their schooling. Let them do some planning.
Yeah. You're causing like 100 thoughts in my head if you say this, this is true. Now, I am by nature a planner, and I would plan my whole semester, but I got smart in my whole year. I even had four-year plans for my kids, of course. You know, I'm a planner. But what I learned was to put breaks in, like, okay, a catch-up week. Public school teachers have to do this. Classroom school teachers have to do this. You know, snow days happen in public school, right? Not for us. But I put in a break. This is your catch-up week for math, you know. And if they were caught up, good. Then they didn't have to do math that week, or they could work ahead or whatever. But I would learn to put in those buffers. And I liked what you said about this. Well, we call it stuff guilt here in my house. You look at something you bought and you feel guilty because you bought the stuff, and now you can't get rid of the stuff because you feel guilty for buying it. you know,
mm-hmm.
and you're right, causes that knot in your stomach, and it limits your kids. So here's my advice to you, you know, don't buy something now, because the homeschool marketplace is changing so fast, like you said. It used to be you buy all your books at the beginning of the year, they come in one big box, but now it's changing so fast that there's new stuff coming up all the time. So I love your attitude of saying there might be some new resource that comes along or new way of learning how to present something I was going to present to them. So, yeah, don't box yourself in too much, homeschool moms out there. Don't buy something by saying I'll use it someday. If it's good quality curriculum or resource, it'll be there in the future. If it's not there in the future, then it, guess what? Other shoppers probably found out and did you a favor, and it's not on the market anymore. Because it didn't
right.
work. You know, I kind of jokingly said about myself, but how I was limited to one bookshelf when I was homeschooling. So I do give advice to people before you buy something, especially if it's bigger than just a book, but you have to ask yourself, where is this going to go? So I still do this, but I asked for a new tea kettle, for a whistling tea kettle to make tea, you know, for Christmas. And I got it, and my husband's there yesterday, and he said to me, Carol, where's this tea kettle going to go? I said, well, it sits on the stove, Dave. That's where tea kettles go, right? And he said, what about when it's summertime? Where's it going to go? I didn't have a place where it was going to go in my kitchen. And he, you know, that frustrated him because now it's cluttering up the place. You need to ask yourself that. Where am I physically going to put this item when I get it home, especially if it's large, you know? You know, you joked about buying the telescope. That the telescope takes space. So you have to ask yourself that, because you mentioned it's not just physical clutter, but it's like a mental clutter too. So, yeah, go ahead, comment on this whole myth of I'll use it someday, because I think it's a bad one that we've been buying into.
Well, I think one of the focuses on my blog, for the homeschool reality series is the idea of that individualized homeschool plan. That is very scary. If you have been traditionally schooled your whole life, somebody else did all the planning, somebody else created all the expectations, and now suddenly you are free to create your own expectations. And that's it's a huge responsibility, and it's very scary. And right. I think our desire sometimes to buy things and say, I'll use it someday, we're trying to yeah. exert some control mm-hmm. over our environment, because we yeah. are flying solo. We have yeah. amazing homeschool resources, support groups and blogs and Facebook groups, but when it comes down to it, it's you and your family and you meeting each other's needs, and you helping your children meet their educational needs and their academic goals. And it comes down to being honest with yourself, helping your kids be honest with themselves and evaluate themselves. They're weak in spelling. They're weak in penmanship. Maybe they have really strong math skills, but they have issues in some other area. And helping them focus on learning how to fill those gaps as they occur, because I'm surprised by my oldest son not crazy about math. My daughter mm-hmm. loves math, eats algebra like it's Cheerios, loves geometry, blows through it like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He took a year and a half, almost 2 years to do
yeah.
Algebra 1.
Yeah.
He didn't yep. like it. He found it frustrating, and he drug his feet, and I let him drag his feet. I said, this
mm-hmm.
is your education.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it eventually, but you're doing Algebra 1. Just get through it. Now he's doing the kind of math he loves, which he is interested in accounting and investments and things like that. So he'll do 6 hours of math a day because he loves economics. Yeah, he loves economics and investment banking. But I made him do Algebra 1. You are going to do Algebra 1, whether you like it or not. But I could never have anticipated that he would do that.
That's amazing.
And that that I could sign him up for the math program that he's currently using, and I get these report card things in my email, and it will tell me, you know, he spent 14 hours on math this week, and how many concepts he mastered, and I couldn't have predicted that by any stretch. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have predicted mm-hmm. that my daughter would suddenly decide to have a YouTube channel and want to learn photography and videography and blogging as opposed to blogging. I had no idea that that would be something that she would be interested in. So you really do have to take it one day at a time. You plan the best you can, but there's that flexibility that you have to allow, because that's why you're homeschooling, is you want to meet your children's needs. The fact is, their needs are going to change.
That's true. Well, and on that note, I hope that is food for thought for a lot of you. Thanks so much, Susan, for sharing your perspective. You, like me, we homeschooled a long time, and we come at things with this longer-term perspective, especially because we have kids who've gone through it all, gone through homeschooling in high school. So we talked about five myths between this episode and last. Let me just wrap them up as we close here. But we talked about the myth of believing that just a little more money will solve all our problems when it won't, or the myth of I need something when maybe it's a want and versus a need. We fall for believing that things were on sale, so you saved money, and you didn't. You just spent less. There's a myth that says homeschooling is expensive. It's really not in terms of money, perhaps, but it might be in terms of time. And finally, we've talked about the myth of I'll use it someday. Try to avoid that belief, ladies and gentlemen, as you go into the homeschool convention season here. And follow the advice that Susan was so great at giving over on her website at homeandschool.com, talking about homeschool reality, that really we are here to follow our children and learn, teach them what they need to know when they need to know it. So, hey, thank you for joining me, Susan. It was great talking with you and sharing your information. I appreciate it so much here on the Dollars and Cents Show. And join us next time. In the meantime, make sure you listen to some of the other podcasts at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. There's a lot of good stuff out there for you, encouraging you in your homeschool journey. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.